Well, good morning once again. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, we ask you to speak to us through it. We ask you to instruct us. We ask you, Lord, to change us. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch everybody here. And bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Genesis 32. I did say that earlier. I don't know who heard it. I know a lot of you are still in either 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, right? Genesis 32. You know, one of the things I like about the Bible is the people in the Bible. You know, if Hollywood had written this, everybody would be perfect, wouldn't they? But everybody isn't perfect. The people in the Bible are... We're going to be talking about Jacob today. I like Jacob. He's a lot like his... I consider Peter to be his New Testament counterpart because they're very similar. They both kind of struggle at the beginning. They fumble a lot. They don't always do things right. They're kind of like me. And I guess that's what I like about them. But we see growth in both of them. As we study their lives, as they get older, they learn. God changes them. Jacob grabbed his brother's heel in the womb. So he was given the name Jacob. It means supplanter or outwitter or anyway. He lived up to his name. Jacob had been away for, I think it's about 21 years, I'm not sure. But he'd been away because he had stolen the blessing from his brother, the blessing that God said he was going to have, but he went about it the wrong way. He disguised himself as his brother, and he went into his father's tent and took the blessing. So he had to flee because Esau's brother was going to kill him. And he's on his way back. And he hears that Esau's coming with 400 men. And so what does he do? He prays. Chapter 32, verse 9, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. First thing we notice about this prayer, it's a prayer that pleads God's covenant relationship. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. They both We're in a covenant relationship with the Lord. And that was passed on to, well, it was passed on from Abraham to Isaac, and it was passed on from Isaac to Jacob. Then Jacob says, The Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. God had told him that he's going to get home safely, and yet here he is fearing because his brother's coming. If he knew that, if God had told him that, then why is he worried? He goes on to say, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He humbles himself. It says in James, I think it's chapter 4, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. When we pray, we need to take that position, don't we? For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. God had mightily blessed him. He came back with a lot. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Seems like he's really concerned with his family, and he should be. But yet, he forgets something. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. God had promised him that he was going to have many children, many descendants. God had also promised him that through his descendants, the Messiah was going to come. He gave that promise to Abraham, and that was passed on to Isaac, and it was passed on to Jacob. And we know that that was fulfilled, of course, don't we? Verse 13, and he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau's brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asks thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind me. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, in this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say you, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with a present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. What'd he just do? He prayed a prayer of faith that God was going to deliver him. And then he turns around and he starts living up to his name, doesn't he? He starts scheming. He starts planning. How can I solve this problem, he's telling himself. Do we do that? Too much, don't we? I see Trudy laughing. We do. You know, if you believe God is going to deliver you, God said you're going to deliver him. And you turn around and you do this. You notice what he said. When they say, who is this and who are you with? Behold, thy servant. Where is it? I'm missing it. Whose art thou and whither goest thou and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's, and is a present sent unto my lord Esau. When Jacob and Esau were in the womb, they were fighting. They were battling. There was a war going on. Rebekah said, what's going on? God said, there's two nations in your womb. The younger will serve, the older will serve the younger. Jacob was calling Esau the Lord, and he was calling himself the servant. So he had forgotten about that. For he said, I will appease him with a present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. Maybe he will accept me. All this planning, he's really confident that it's going to work out, isn't he? Maybe. Maybe with all our planning, maybe things will work out. Maybe they won't. But if God says something's going to be, it's going to be. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Jabbok means emptying. He had completely emptied himself. And as we read a little further, it's at verse 24, Jacob was left alone. He was left alone. I've got a quote here from C.H. McIntosh. To be left alone with God is the only true way of arriving at a just knowledge of ourselves and our ways. We can never get a true estimate of nature and all its actings until we have weighed them in the balances of the sanctuary, and there we may ascertain their real worth. No matter what we may think about ourselves, nor yet what man may think about us, the great question is, what does God think about us? And the answer to this question can only be learned when we are left alone, away from the world, away from self, away from all the thoughts, reasonings, imaginings, and emotions of mere nature, and alone with God. Thus and thus alone can we get a correct judgment about ourselves. So what happens after Jacob is left alone? It says there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This mysterious visitor shows up, wrestles with Jacob. Hosea 12:4 says that it was an angel. But if we read a little further, and it was the angel of the Lord. But if we read a little further here, Jacob recognized the face of God that he just saw. He named the place Peniel, which means face of God. You know, a lot of people debate inside themselves, you know, who it was really that he was wrestling with. Actually, I think he was wrestling with a lot of people. I think he was wrestling with himself. I think he was wrestling with his brother Esau. But it goes beyond that, actually, doesn't it? There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It doesn't really say that Jacob wrestled with him. One commentator pointed that out. That visitor showed up to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob, of course, since someone's wrestling with him, he's going to wrestle back. Jacob was pretty stubborn. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Why all night? Can't God just change things instantly? Maybe he wanted to break down that, take away that stubbornness of Jacob. Aren't you glad God's patient? He'll wrestle with us all night long, if that's what it takes. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thighs, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was at a joint as he wrestled with him. See, like I said, God can change people's attitude and change their mind real fast when he wants to. But there's a process that God puts us through. Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I think of myself. I remember back when I came back to the Lord, it was in the early 1990s. Well, it started a few years before that. I guess I had to wrestle with God for a while. But I decided that I was going to cling to God and I wasn't going to let go. And when reading this, it made me realize how important that is. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm not going to let go of God. We have to be determined. We have to take the stubbornness that it's our natural way, and we have to use that in a good way. Set your face like a flint, it says in Isaiah. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." I've got a smile when I read this. Jacob went into his father's tent. And he said, "Arise, father, and eat. I've cooked some venison for you. And I'm here for your blessing." And Isaac said, "Who are you, my son?" "I am Esau." What do we see here now? We see God asking him, "Who are you? What's your name?" And Jacob finally saying, "I am Jacob. I'm not my brother." You know, I think that maybe he might have felt guilty about that all his life. It wasn't really his idea to begin with. It was his mother's. He went along with it. Maybe he longed to hear the blessing that was directed to him. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed." Jacob had his name changed. The two names represent the two natures that was in Jacob. We all have two natures in us, don't we? We have the old man, we have the new man. Of course, we like to think the old man's dead. Do we try to dig him up? The old man's still there. The new man is there. The trick is for the new man to get stronger and the old man to get weaker. Jacob means supplanter. Israel means God strives or God commands. Or it could be translated, Jacob strives with God. But But when there's a verb in a definition and an El or a Yah is part of the name, it's the Lord that's acting the verb. As one commentator says, out of some 40 Hebrew names compounded with El or Yah, God is always the doer of what the verb means. Thus, Hiel, H-I-E-L, means God liveth. Daniel means God judgeth. Gabriel means God is my strength. So who commands? God does. Who strives? God does. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, or Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he hauled it upon his thigh. He limped. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the sinew that shrank, the muscle that shrank. He didn't, like I said, he didn't take the old nature away, but he shrank it. Jacob was reduced to where he couldn't do anything but cling. All his strength was gone. And so what did he choose to do? He chose to lean on God. What do we do when all our strength is gone? We lean on God, don't we? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When the enemy has you backed up into a corner, you've got him right where you want him. You know why? Because that's when God steps in. When we're beyond ourselves, beyond what we can do, we look to God with faith, and we know that God will take care of us. God's not going to allow anything to happen to you that he doesn't allow. So what does this have to do with us? All that we read here. Our opening scripture was 1 Corinthians 10:11-13. I'm just going to read verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you see yourself in this event from Jacob's life? Do you recognize your need for God in it? Do you recognize your need for a Savior? Aren't you glad God did? 2,000 years ago, God became man, walked the earth, died on a cross, and 3 days later, he rose again. Does he still wrestle with men? Does he still wrestle with you? Lord, you told Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man. His days shall be 120 years. Lord, you don't always strive with man, or you won't strive with man until your purpose is fulfilled. I think I said that wrong. You will strive with man until your purpose is fulfilled, and then you won't need to anymore. Or those that choose to reject you, you won't always strive with them. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the example of Jacob. I thank you, Lord, that we can see the imperfections of the people in the Bible. We can see it in Moses. We can see it in David. We can see it in Jacob. There's only one person in the Bible that was perfect, Lord, and that was you. But Lord, we thank you that you do make changes in us. You do allow us and help us grow. That we can grow stronger in the things of you and weaker in the things of the world. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's always you increasing in our lives first, Lord. You're always first because it's always about you. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for that gift of salvation, for the price you paid for it. We thank you, Lord, that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. Each one of us can say that. You endured the cross for me. Lord, we pray that you'll continue, and we know you will continue the work that you're doing in us. Help us to be, Lord, what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you'd go with us, you'd be with us today, and you'd bring us back safe, Lord, when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.